morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this day, a chance to come together and worship you. Please be with my words today. Help them to point to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and start with James 1:5, the verse that we had read this morning. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." What is wisdom? If you take and look it up in the dictionary, wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise. It's interesting, if you look through history, most of the written record that survives are either law or stories about wisdom, like the Bible, for example, God's wisdom for us. While I was preparing for this sermon, I was reading a little bit about other wise sayings. From China, Confucius had some interesting things to say about wisdom. He said there's three ways to gain wisdom: reflection, imitation, and experience. So today, I guess we're going to do some reflection. We're going to look in God's Word, and hopefully we'll be able to imitate God. I'll leave the experience up to you. Talking of stories about wisdom, please turn with me to Exodus 35, starting in verse 30. "And Moses said to the children of Israel, 'See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and all manner of workmanship.'" Wow, isn't that kind of exciting to hear? God was willing to take the knowledge that he had and teach him how to apply it. In James, we are promised that God will give us wisdom if we ask for it. He will help us use our talents to serve him. Going back to the verse, starting 32, "To design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach, in him and Aholiab, the son of Ahasimech, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker, in blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works." So not only did he give them wisdom on how to perform these tasks, he gave them wisdom on how to teach others. Quite the story. Can you think of anything that would apply to in your life? Do you have any projects you're working on that you think would glorify God? God promises to help us, give us wisdom. The next story of wisdom is found in Deuteronomy 34:9. It says a little bit about how God chose his leaders. After Moses had died, starting in verse 9, "Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses." I think that's interesting that God's choice for people to rule were those who practiced wisdom. Something to keep in mind. And of course, on any discussion on wisdom, we can't pass up Solomon. Go to 1 Kings 4, starting verse 29. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding, and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Charcoal, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also, he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and fish. And men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth, who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon." Sounds pretty impressive. But how did the story of Solomon start out? Let's go ahead and go to 2 Chronicles 1, starting in 2 Chronicles 1, verse 7. "On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' And Solomon said to God, 'You have shown great mercy to David my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours?' Then God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like." Sounds like a pretty good beginning. He'd ask God, "I don't know what to do. You know, my dad just died. I've inherited the family business. I have no idea what I'm doing. Help me." So if you turn over a couple of chapters, in 2 Chronicles 3, Solomon builds the temple. How many of you have done some construction work? Have you ever read this story and wondered about the methods they used? Everything was pre-cut, and then they just assembled it? I don't know about you, but I've been on projects where supposedly everything was pre-cut. It doesn't always work out the way it's supposed to. So I see that as an example of wisdom. God gave him wisdom to know, these are the things that I got to think about beforehand, before I start building. God has offered us that wisdom, the wisdom to help us plan so that we can do what he would want us to do. So how do you go about gaining wisdom? Go ahead and turn to Psalms 111. Verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever." I believe it was last quarter in our Sabbath school lesson, we were studying a bit about the law. Here it says, "A good understanding have all those who do his commandments." Kind of an exciting concept. Let's follow up some more on it. Let's turn to Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs, we usually attribute the book to Solomon, his wisdom. So starting Proverbs 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So far we've seen that to begin to gain wisdom, follow his commandments and fear God. I'll leave you to reflect on what that means. Next, let's go to Proverbs 2. He has some stuff to say about the value of wisdom. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equality and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you." Quite the promise. How many of you have ever been treasure hunting? Went looking for something. Did you give up fairly rapidly? We're called to continue searching for it, to not give up. When I think of treasure, I remember as a kid reading about the gold rushes and all these people that would travel, would sell everything and come out looking for gold or silver. It was their full purpose. They focused everything on it. That's how we're supposed to seek wisdom. It can be scary at times. Let's go ahead and turn to James 3. James has some interesting things to say about wisdom. Starting in verse 13. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So in James here, he lists two categories, I guess you would call it earthly wisdom and then godly wisdom. And then he goes on to state a couple of criteria for godly wisdom. Starting in verse 17, the first criteria is it has to be pure. How do you know if something is pure or not? It's a matter of judgment, right? What is our standard? God's law. That's why it was given to us. so that we could see what is right and wrong. How about peaceable? How many times growing up I was told a soft answer turns away wrath? Or you've heard, count to 10 before you say something. Give a chance to think about something. Gentle is the next criteria. What is it in Revelation that we refer to the Lamb of God? Can you think of anything, if you're going to describe gentle as a creature, can you think of anything better than a lamb? Willing to yield. That's an interesting concept. Are you willing to listen to advice? Could be one way to translate it. If you look at Proverbs 12:15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Another verse of interest would be Psalms 37, starting in verse 30. It says, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. I'm sure if you think about it, you can think of people you know who practice wisdom. We should be willing to listen to them. As far as merciful, going back to the criteria from James, in Proverbs 17:9, it says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. In this instance, I guess he's referring to, I don't know if you've ever had an acquaintance that would continually rub in your face your wrongdoings. For example, you play the game with your sister and, you know, for the next week all she talks about is how she beat you. You don't feel very good about that. You kind of get a little antagonistic. Oh yeah, wait for the rematch. And so we're called to be merciful, to not continually bring something up. How about peaceful? Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Can you think back to any experiences you've had where if you had not said things in such an abrupt or harsh manner, there would have been peace? I can think of some in my past, relatively recently, times that I didn't think before speaking. Reminds me of I'm not sure where the saying's from, but it says anyone can look wise as long as he keeps his mouth shut. So we're not all called to be quiet, but to have a soft answer, know when to speak. Another verse about peacefulness, Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. When I was in school, things went a whole lot easier if when I got stuck, I would go to the teacher and ask, I'm stuck, what can I do? And he would provide a few pointers and then off I'd be. If you're not willing to listen to advice, you end up gaining wisdom the hard way, through experience. In fact, Confucius had a couple of labels for his three categories of how to gain wisdom. Reflection was the noblest. Imitation was the easiest. And he's had it for experience, the bitterest. So after hearing all these things about wisdom, God says he wants to give it to us. Let's go back to James 1. Starting in verse 2, let's read the verses before and after these five. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. I'll leave you guys to reflect upon that for a moment. What does it mean to ask in faith with no doubting? Have you ever asked for something from someone and you knew without a shadow of a doubt that they were going to get it for you? That is what God is asking of us. Ask for wisdom and be expectant. Have full faith that I will give it to you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? In my mind, I guess I could summarize wisdom as applied knowledge. God not only knows everything, but he knows how to apply it. And he's willing to share that with us. That is why he gave us the Bible. It's his wisdom for us. On that note, let's have our closing prayer. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Please help us to seek after your wisdom, to ask and have full faith that you will give us your wisdom. Please be with us this week. Help us to want to reflect on your word, imitate you. In Jesus' name, amen.